Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Currently, 38.2 of Latino children between the ages of 2 and 19 are overweight or obese, compared with 31.7% of all U.S. children in those ages, placing them at higher risk for developing chronic diseases. Obesity, especially when developed at a very young age and carried into adulthood, is associated with type 2 diabetes, heart disease, stroke, hypertension, asthma, sleep apnea, some types of cancer. And this makes it an urgent priority to address the issue of childhood obesity in our Latino community. This really needs to be a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 614-8980. If you've got questions or comments, ideas about the issue of childhood obesity, particularly in the Latino community, but it doesn't have to be limited to that, because this is, it's really all across the board. And you can also email questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. And with me this half hour to discuss the issue, we got Rebecca Adigbe. She's here from the organization Salud America, and they are here in San Antonio. We're having a two-day conference at the UT Health Science Center talking about this issue. We've got experts coming in from around the country and also local experts and leaders trying to figure out what can be done to tackle this issue. So, Rebecca, Becky, thank you so much for joining us to The Source today.
Sure.
Now, do we really think that this is something that, how can we handle this? How can we wrap our arms around this massive problem and then start making the changes in people's lifestyles to address this issue?
Of course. Well, obesity is so complex, and the different things and the different environmental conditions that kind of affect obesity are all over the place, from the neighborhood that an individual lives in to the type of environment students have at school. Even just some of the policies that are surrounding communities and the way they function all affects and impacts obesity. And I think that's where a lot of attention is starting to focus to see how we can combat this.
So do we see this as a self-imposed problem that is can be easily fixed just by saying, hey, people, just say no to donuts or just say no to sweet tea? I mean, is it that easy, or is this something that we don't really know how to fix it yet?
Of course. I think early on, when obesity trends first started rising, a lot of people did think it was just a behavioral issue. It was a matter of having an individual reduce, you know, the amount of calories they consume and get more physically active. But I think what, you know, health professionals are starting to realize is that a lot of the environment and a lot of things that are surrounded by individuals impact the behavioral choices a person can make. So it's really a combination of personal preference and behavior modifications and having an environment that kind of encourages healthy living.
So when we are talking about a population, we're focusing on Latino children right now, and we said earlier 38% of Latino children between 2 and 14 are overweight or obese. So we're and have all these, just this parade of horrors that could happen to you when you're that overweight for so long. This is a public health crisis. This is going to impact the entire health, system. So, I mean, this is not just talking about problems for individuals, but society is going to be paying for this.
Of course, and that's absolutely true. I mean, the Latino population is increasing, and at some point they may be the majority of the population. So, you know, it's important to start looking at things that can be done with Latino children, knowing that obesity usually follows an individual into an adulthood.
And helping them make the right choices.
Exactly.
So let's get to the phones. The number to call to join the conversation, 614-8980. And we do have Eric standing by. Eric wants to join the conversation. Eric, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on air today.
All right, sir, go ahead.
My concern is television. Television is our problem, I think. Commercials, every other 30 seconds, it's through this, through that. Not based just on the Latino, but just, you know, everybody. You know, it's not just the Latino people. I'm a Hispanic myself, and I think that plays a big role. I mean, should there be a limit to advertising as far as food-wise, targeting our kids, soda pops, chips, and we should put more emphasis on exercising, eating healthy, letting go of these McDonald's dollar menus, Burger King's, all these other things. I mean, something needs to be done. And my question is, what can we do? How do we get that, regulate that on the commercials on TV? Because, I mean, internet, TV, that's what our kids are watching now, you know, and that's basically what it is now. You know, they
right, and so the kids are being programmed in order to choose a bag of chips rather than a healthier alternative. So, Eric, thank you so much. I appreciate your call, and we'll discuss this. So, Becky, you know, marketing, there's a huge marketing company fact, you know, they're programming kids to like these items, and they're full of sugar and salt, and they put superheroes on the packaging, and it just looks great. And then you say, and then, or you could have broccoli, you know, and so what's a kid going to do?
Of course. And, you know, that's a huge kind of thing that people are starting to look at, marketing, target marketing to children. And a lot of it is, you know, these larger food and beverage companies are saying that they are self-regulating themselves. And they kind of made a push a couple of years ago to try to get, you know, industry self-regulation. And to some extent, I guess that was, you know, it helped in a way, but there is definitely more that needs to be done. But it's very controversial, and there's a lot of negotiation and collaborations that have to happen, both from the food and beverage industry perspective and the public health perspective. And I think, you know, that's something that a lot of people are trying to work on. But we know that these marketing campaigns and these marketing strategies have a huge impact on the food preferences and the drink preferences that youth have today.
Okay. Another caller on the line. John wants to join the conversation. John, welcome to The Source.
Hi. My comment is basically, I think it just comes down to personal responsibility. You know, you can live in an environment which promotes obesity. You can go to schools which promote obesity, which I don't think is actually the problem. But parents need to take responsibility for the food that they put into their kids' mouths and also for the things that they are exposed to in terms of the media as well. And then you can watch TV all day and be subjected to all kinds of commercials which promote things that are unhealthy, but it is still the parents' responsibility to make sure that they're feeding their kids healthily and also to make sure that they are involved in physical activity as well.
Okay, John, thank you for your call. So John brings up the concept that this is a parent's responsibility, but you know, our parents, they're stressed out. You know, they work, you know, one job, two jobs, there's a lot of demands in their time. And so they make the easy choice frequently, which is not always, you know, the healthy choice. So how would you respond to John?
Of course. And you know, that is very true. A lot of it is, you know, parents need to be more engaged in the things that their children are eating or the activities that their children are, you know, getting involved in. But at the same time, it's very important that these communities have the opportunity that, you know, a child has the option of picking a healthy item, that there's a neighborhood or a community environment that promotes healthy eating and physical activity.
Right. We're going to talk more about it in just a second. We've got to take a quick break. This is The Source on KSTX, talking about childhood obesity in the Latino community. Give us a call at 614-8980. And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the problem of childhood obesity, particularly in the Latino community. We're having a conference in San Antonio over the next couple of days at the UT Health Science Center. And Salud America is the name of it. It's also the name of the organization that's trying to figure out solutions to help our children figure out how to deal with all of this great food that we have in our society. Maybe it's not so good, but it certainly is helping them pack on the pounds and making them not be as healthy as they ought to be. With me in the studio to talk about that, Becky Adigbe. She's a project coordinator for Salud America. We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 614-8980. So, Becky, we've been hearing from people saying it's a personal responsibility. It's the choice of the parents and it's the choice of the kids. And they're just picking the wrong foods because, you know, they don't know. Well, you know, there is science out there now that's saying that it's really not a choice, that these drug companies have these food companies have gotten so good at manufacturing the products that we crave, the fat, the sugar, and the salt that just goes right to our brain, that we want those things. Coming back from the days when we were just, you know, early hominids on the savannah, that's what we wanted. And so how do you combat that, trying to help families and kids make the right decisions? And, you know, we can't regulate food companies to do these things, at least I don't think so, not yet. So the idea is to motivate people to make the right decisions. So how do y'all do that?
So I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, educating parents and educating the public about, you know, some of the strategies that these marketers are using to target them for these unhealthy foods and beverages. And at the same time, educating parents and educating the public on, you know, how to make healthier choices in the environment that they live in and what surrounds them.
Now, there has been some research on these issues, but not a lot of research and data available about how this is impacting the Latino community specifically. And this is making it difficult to develop and implement, you know, evidence-based and culturally appropriate strategies to help the Latino community deal with childhood obesity, right?
That's correct. So, and you know, that's actually why Salud America exists. We were funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to really study kind of, you know, what is going on in obesity amongst Latino children. And we built the field of evidence over the past 5 years, and we're able to make some policy recommendations. And so now for the next 2 years, we'll really be focusing on, you know, packaging all of this research and data and making it available to the public in a way that parents could become more informed and individuals who are, you know, wanting to take action in their communities can do so with some of the information that they find through Salud America.
All right, back to the phones. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 614-8980. Luis has been on hold. Luis, thank you. Welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to make a comment regarding how difficult it is regarding parents and how busy we are. I heard you guys just had that exchange a few minutes ago. And my wife and I just have been, I think we're on a level field now where we had spent the last year struggling with this. And, you know, just through practice, you know, we saw Food Incorporated, you know, we would demonize high fructose corn syrup at home, and we did everything. You know, at first it was really expensive, just shopping straightly at Whole Foods, and then it just became one of those things where everything we bought was organic or all natural, and we switched brands, and we just, you know, made going to fast food places less important. And we have two young children, and it's just taken a year, and just through practice, you know, making a weekly budget and all, and it's hard, but, you know, it's doable, definitely doable.
When you've got young kids, it's hard to say no to the Happy Meal.
It's hard to say no to a Sonic Happy Hour, $2 drinks, you know, it's really, really hard. But, you know, it's doable. I mean, you know, we buy organic stuff for their lunches, and I'm sorry, I live near an Air Force base, so I'm going to have to roll up the windows here.
That's okay. All right, well, Luis,
but yeah,
we appreciate your phone call, and good luck on that. Sounds like you're making the right choices there.
It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's taken some time, and I think if parents have are educated into, you know, able to make wiser choices, even if it's a little bit more expensive.
Okay, Luis. All right, we got some other calls to get to. Let's bring Chris in on the conversation. Chris, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you. My comment, and I'll take comments off the air, is, you know, has there been a study on what foods are available, you know, and if most of these individuals are on low income? I've noticed when I go into the grocery store, and I've been on WIC and other things before, that, you know, a lot of times the healthy foods aren't necessarily available, the fruits and the vegetables, but the sodas and the chips and other things are easily available.
Right. You're exactly right. So, Chris, thank you for that call. I mean, I go to the produce section, 79 cents for a cucumber. I said, I can't believe it. You know, that's fresh food does cost. How do people you know, make those?
Of course. Well, you know, one of the things, there's a couple of different strategies or a couple of different things to think about when you visit a grocery store and you're looking for those healthier options. One of those is when it comes to produce, you always want to try to find produce items that are in season. They're typically less expensive. But, you know, overall, when you walk into a grocery store, and I've seen it, you know, here in San Antonio on certain sides of town, where they do not have healthy options for individuals shopping at their store. And when I've asked, a lot of what some of the managers have said is it's a matter of request. If our shoppers asked for it, they would have it in the store. So part of it as a consumer or as a, you know, someone who shops at their store, it's a matter of asking and demanding those types of products. And if enough people ask for it, stores will likely start to carry it.
Okay, phones are ringing off the hook. Let's get Michael in the conversation. Michael, welcome to The Source.
Hey, yes, I had prior heard about, I think it was like Sweden banning the sale of potato chips altogether. I just did a quick Google search on banned potato chips, and Massachusetts just banned the sale of potato chips and sodas in their schools, like, unanimously, and California has legislation doing the same. I mean, that would make it less available. I work in a large company, and I see a lot of large people in line with a soda and a bag of chips, and it's just too available and too easy, and people need to stop and
quit. Right, so, but you're talking about them banning them at school, at a public school, and then we have New York City where Mayor Bloomberg banned the big gulp sodas and trans fats. And so we do see a government action, but, you know, I just can't imagine Texas, where it's still legal to text and drive on a state highway, that we would take such a measure here. But I see your point, Michael. Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate that. And see, I mean, if we're going to wait for government bans on these things, that's not a solution, I don't think.
Of course. And you know, I don't think that we necessarily want to start going around and banning everything that's unhealthy, but I think what we want to do is make sure that it's not in your face and that people have an option. So I know, you know, a lot of trying to improve snacks in schools is very big right now across the nation. And a lot of that is just because students and children spend so much of their time in
schools. Look at the results. There's still the obesity epidemic is growing still. Mm-hmm. You know, so something else has got to happen. We haven't figured out the solution yet. Joe wants to jump in the conversation. Joe, welcome to The Source.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Joe, you're on the line.
Hi. I was listening to your conversation and about the obesity thing, and everybody say that it's a parental guidance thing. It's a school thing. There's a lot of different roots to this. You know, it's not just one thing. You know, when it's easy for somebody to say that making $80,000 a year to say it's a parental thing when they have a choice, then for the person that's making, they only get $15,000 a year.
Right.
Their choices are limited.
Exactly,
you
Joe.
Know? And the schools, the legislature, it keeps cutting the lunch meals on children. And you think that somebody that has $30 to feed the kids during the week, you think they're going to choose smart food over cheap food? I don't think so. I mean, you go to H-E-B, Walmart, one squash will cost you 89 cents, you know, and stuff like that. So everybody, we all live in the same society.
Right.
So we cannot act like we all live in different societies because of our environments. Yeah. People that live in higher environments, more affordable and more expensive environments, they can afford accordingly.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, if not, sure. You're all just going around in circles.
Joe, good comments. Thank you for that. So there have been studies. They show what the average American spends about $7 a day on food. But when you're the lower income people, you know, they're spending the obese family members are spending $3 a day on food. They're spending it more on high caloric, less nutritious food, which adds to obesity, but doesn't give them the nutritional value that they actually are craving because they don't have a choice. Is that what you're finding?
Well, you know, and unfortunately, yes, that is kind of what we're finding. And I think there's a lot that needs to be done. But trying to have a balance between better food environments and physical activity environments, along with, you know, personal behaviors that, you know, are willing to eat a little bit healthier and be active, is really kind of part of the solution.
Okay, so Paula is on the line. Paula, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm wondering if, instead of looking at it as a war on obesity, if we should be looking at it from the perspective of a person's health. Because calling it a war on obesity, being a fat woman, I kind of, it makes me feel like you're targeting me. I know,
right.
And I know that I'm not the only one.
Okay. Well, Paula, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. We're running way low on time. It's not a war on obesity, but this is a way to promote healthy choices, right?
That's correct.
But this is a critical issue affecting the Latino community, and solutions we got to find. All right, we got to thank you so much for being on with us today. Becky Adigbe, she's the project coordinator for Salud America. And this is The Source on KSTX. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Wayne Coble is the TPR program director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. We get production help from Catherine Dixon. I'm David Martin Davies. Check us out online at tpr.org, where the conversation continues. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio. Support from The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.